The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother, Me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis of McElroy.
I'm your sweet baby brother, Griffin McElroy.
Happy birthday to you. Huh. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, you wascally wabbit. Happy birthday to you. Huh. Hi, everybody. We're celebrating the life of Bugs Bunny, who turns 80 years old today.
Aww. I mean, he doesn't.
So excited to have... He's not on the show. But if he was, I think he'd sound a little something like this.
Okay, yeah. but he wasn't born, right? So he'll never die.
He was born. Just because he'll never die doesn't mean he was born.
Well, let's not be so quick to judge, because Maud Flanders died famously of Simpsons. So there is precedent that cartoon characters can pass away, and we write about it in our TV guide. And we try to solve who shot Mr. Burns, and it's very important to us. So Bugs Bunny could get very, very sick, Travis, with some sort of disease for rabbits.
Yeah, some kind of carrot-related thing.
Some sort of thing like that, yes.
Like maybe he ate some tainted carrots and shit himself to death.
And he gets, and he's little. Rabbits are little. It wouldn't take much, would it? And you're thinking about it now. He's a fragile little guy. We have to protect this 80-year-old rabbit, man.
You know, I never cared for his antics. I'm just going to put it right out there. If you, of all the kind of cartoon, I would say figureheads, I always found Bugs Bunny's acerbic wit and japery to be a little bit on the mean
this
side.
This is the moment where we can exclusively reveal that Travis was adopted. His birth name was Travis Fudd. And I'm glad we could finally put that out into the world.
I don't think you have to be cut from that particular bald, impotent cloth to hate this rabbit. I think dude sucks. You watch Space Jam, fucking Lola Bunny shows up like, hey, everybody, check out how good I am at basketball. And this fucking idiot rabbit's like, I have a boner. It's like, yo, like she didn't come here for you to do that, Bugs. She came here to play basketball with Michael Jordan, which is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. If I rolled gym and was like, let me play basketball, show you how good I am. Taz, check out how good I am at dunking. And fucking, you know, Wile E. Coyote was like, let me fuck you. I would be like, this is not what I signed up for.
Okay, Griffin, to be fair, please don't besmirch Wile E. Coyote. He'd buy you dinner first, and he would ask for consent.
He would hold up a little sign that would said, gotta fuck you. He wouldn't say it out loud.
He would hold up a sign that said, would it be okay if I fucked you?
Can I talk about the stuff that I want to talk about with Bugs Bunny?
Is it about how much he sucks?
I did my research on Bugs Bunny.
All right.
Looked up some facts and figures and stats. And I have two things I'd like to share with you about Bugs Bunny. Thank you, the Mental Floss, as always, for paring all of human history down to the real thank nugs. Here's one fact that I'd like to discuss. In several psychological studies about false beliefs, scientists have shown people fake advertisements for Disney World featuring Bugs Bunny. A significant portion of subjects then claim to remember going to Disney and meeting Bugs, even though Warner Brothers' character would never be on display at a Disney theme park.
Now, okay. Hey.
I want to hang out with these people like, yeah, it's fucking saw Bugs Bunny. I remember when I was there, it was me and the mouse and Bugs all through my best friends just hanging out.
How much time do you think there had to be between showing them these fake ads and then asking them, like, hey, look at this ad. Do you remember this? Yes?
Yeah, I guess. Do you remember when you saw Bugs Bunny? Oh, yeah, I think he was there. Although, yeah, to be unfair to science, I guess I should say, to be fair to these people who were in the study, If you show me a commercial for Disney World featuring Bugs Bunny, and then they're like, "Is Bugs Bunny in Disney World?" I would probably say, "Well, it'd be a fucking weird commercial if he's not, huh?"
They're gonna have a lawsuit on their hands, huh?
Who is wasting their time making false Disney World ads? If not, that's weird.
I mean, to be fair, there is a lot of weird stuff at Disney now. Sometimes I'm reminded that the Muppets are owned by Disney, and that seems interesting and strange.
Yeah.
But if someone said, "Was Bugs Bunny at Disney?" I'd be like, "I don't know, man. You said you'd give me $100 if I did this study. Is that now? Is it check or cash, or what's the deal?"
My second fact about Bugs All right. is in 1961, Mel Blanc, who voiced Bugs Bunny, got into a serious car accident that left him in a coma for weeks. Eventually, a doctor tried to get the unresponsive patient to talk by asking him, "Bugs Bunny, how are you doing today?" Blank responded in Bugs' voice, "What's up, Doc?" Later, the doctor would say of the incident, "It seemed like Bugs Bunny was trying to save his life."
Oh, God.
That's not a good... And that doctor's licensed to do literally anything that involves helping people medically, touching people, being near people, was instantly
driving a car.
Revoked.
He shouldn't
driving
be allowed to do anything.
So are you telling this doctor after this moment, like, went back to the other doctors, is like, "Bugs Bunny is, listen, I know how this is going to sound, but Bugs Bunny is in there and he's trying to help me save this man's life."
Anyways, I'm going to go write a movie called Monkey Bone now, if you'll excuse me.
The next morning, he came in all embarrassed, like, "Guys, I'm sorry. I watched Patch Adams 30 years before it came out, and it led me to some questionable decisions. Hate this fucking rabbit. Let's
this
talk about
is what
something
I'm
else.
Saying.
I'm done.
You guys, you know, if Donald Duck was talking shit, Mickey wouldn't trick a hunter into shooting him. That's what
True.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Mickey Mouse would never be like, "Ha ha, it's duck season, fucker." Like, he wouldn't do that.
Yeah. It's like if Peg, like Pete, was there and he was terrorizing Mickey Mouse wouldn't be like, "Stab Donald to death instead."
Yeah.
We were watching a Donald Duck cartoon recently, and my 2-year-old just out of nowhere loudly announced, "Donald Duck is a grasshole." Like, what? He said, "Donald Duck, he's a grasshole." And we after a little bit of searching and digging, we found out that she had confused him with Donald Trump and was just echoing things that we had said around the house.
All right, cool.
So Donald Duck is a grasshole now.
Is that how you sort of like get your political frustration out? Is you walk around your house loudly proclaiming that Donald Trump is an asshole?
No, my 5-year-old does that.
Oh,
okay.
And then so.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
I was going to say that's probably not, that ain't going to move the needle. That ain't going to move the national conversation forward.
It's a big tit in our house. We like to let all political views foment.
All right.
This is an advice show, and it's specifically an advice show on the Maximum Fun Network, which is more specifically doing its annual pledge drive, the Maximum Fun Drive. MaximumFun.org/join is the address where you can go right now and support the shows that you love. You listen to Bim Bam, Sawbones, Stop Podcasting Yourself, Jordan, Jesse Go, The Adventure Zone, whatever, Switchblade Sisters, you name it. Ono, Ross, and Carrie, all those great shows need your support now. And the cool thing is, if you can pledge a few bucks a month or a lot of bucks a month, whatever works for you. We know there's a weird time for money, so whatever you can do, we really appreciate it. But that money goes directly to the shows you listen to. You choose the shows you listen to when you sign up, and Max Fund takes a small portion to sort of keep things operating on their end. They do a lot to support our shows. And then the rest is just split up between the shows that you enjoy. It's a way to support the stuff you like, and in I know times are weird for y'all out there financially. For a lot of folks, I will say it's also pretty weird on our end. Touring and stuff like that is not currently an option for us, so we really do depend on your support to keep things going around here. So if you like what we do and you have a few spare bucks and just a few spare seconds, maximumfund.org/join is the address. There's gifts too. Yeah, if you can pledge $5 a month, you get a ton of bonus content. $10 a month, you get all that stuff and a beautiful pin from the show of your choice. But the real thing is, you're supporting things that you love. And with that, not to put too fine a point on it, but we really need you. So if you can help out, if you're able to, maximumfund.org/join.
More like MaximumFun.orgasm, because that's what you're going to have when you go to this website. Wow. And I'm not going to say it again.
We didn't used to work so blue. When did...
I told you I wouldn't say orgasms. It again.
What are we, Red Book? Come on.
Can we do a question?
At the office, my desk is right next to our single-occupant bathroom. Unfortunately, I'm able to hear some of the louder sounds that come out of the bathroom.
Oh, baby!
However, there's a new guy in the office.
Oh, Marmaduke, you've done it again!
Snap into a Slim Jim!
However, there's a new guy in the office who goes into the bathroom and immediately starts playing drums on his legs.
Fuck yeah.
The thing is, he's really good.
That's funnier than our things that we said.
Yeah, it's almost like you just let me get through the questions. I've been looking for a new drummer to jam with.
He's getting better.
And would love to ask him to jam sometime. How do I approach the new guy and tell him that I'm impressed with him bathroom drumming and invite him to come jam? That's from Shamefully Shy in Chicago.
Okay. We can assume this person is drumming on his legs. When seated, doing twosies or a comfortable onesie, right?
If you're not sitting down to onesie, what are you doing?
You're wasting a perfectly good chillax opportunity. I don't think people are standing at the urinal, pulling their pants down to the point where they have exposed thighs to create that sort of sonorous like slap.
Yeah, and then, it's a ham bone.
Doing that. So that's important to know, man.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if he's going to get a good drum on, if he's going to ham bone, he needs to, like, get some skin. Maybe he's also pulling up his shirt to get, like, the tummy symbol going.
Oh, belly, like a deep bass drum.
Yeah, right? That's the bass drum. So what would symbols maybe, like, the shoulders?
You get the fucking hi-hat of the, like, but then you get that.
Let's
play a game. Hold on. Can we stop? Let's play a game where I slap a part of my body. You guys tell me what you think it is.
Okay.
Got it.
Wait, Justin, be quiet. I hear it.
We have played this game, this exact game before.
I'm going to say that's a clavicle. That's like a
no. You think my clavicle would make that? Like, there's not that much clavicle surface area to make that, it's like, loud of a slap. Justin,
wait,
do you want to hear it again?
Are you shirtless?
No.
That's like your flank. Oh. It's your flank right around your wrist.
Travis? You want to guess again?
I'm going to say it's your bicep.
That's my foot.
Huh. Wonderful.
So this can be, everybody's always getting on my goners because I don't have a great segment. Like, you guys have all these great segments. So maybe now in the middle of an episode, I'll be like, everybody shut up. That was my elbow.
If you say that you're going to do this throughout the episode, it will be the first time that we've ever actually said that and actually followed through on it.
Probably won't.
We'll be doing this throughout the episode.
Probably won't be doing that then.
Probably not. All you got to do is you got to lure him out with a tasty groove. Oh, and that's the thing is, if you're within earshot of this guy and you're just like sitting at the coffee maker, and while you're sitting at the coffee maker, you just lay out a little, does the goosh. He's gonna pick up whatever sticks he can find right around you and start laying down another lick, maybe give you a little bit of that, and then you're giving him like that, does the goosh, and he's giving you that.
And then Susan from down the hall leans in going boom 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 boom.
I really wish we could have built that sonically. I really like.
We were. When we Travis helped it.
Yeah, but at different times.
Boom, 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 boom.
That's going to be, actually, that, you know what? I want to do a backwards segment. That's your TikTok for assignment.
Oh, shit.
This week.
Okay.
That'll be a good one.
I don't think that's how TikTok works.
Here's the problem.
Oops.
No. What? The problem is this, Justin. You're going to start laying down that tasty groove, and he's going to get a little embarrassed to maybe walk away, and you're going to push it and find out that he is only comfortable, much like someone singing in the shower, he's only comfortable playing drums sitting on the toilet. Yeah. So you're going to need to get a porta potty into your garage where you jam for him to be comfortable doing it. Now, if you can figure that out, that's a great gimmick for a band.
It's a great fucking gimmick. It's like Frank, sort of, but
yes,
with a guy in it. Would you cut out armholes?
Oh, cool. In the porta potty?
So it's like the porta potty's playing the drums, or would you put the drums? I'd picture the drums in the porta potty, but
that's going to fuck the whole Sonic. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Sonically, that's not going to work.
Now I'm seeing it, and I like your version much better.
Yeah, like little arms stick out of the porta potty, and they're just ripping.
Ooh, and
I guess you got to have feet holes for the kick drum.
But then an LED face so that it can take on different facial expressions. Like, you're really,
more time.
Really getting into that. It. You know, it's like, oh, the porta potty's fucking rocking today. And he's biting his little LED lip or whatever.
Mm-hmm. You've also got the built in, like, when you need publicity, be like, he's finally stepping out of the porta potty.
Uh-huh. You know, it's funny, actually, Neil Peart used to do this called the porta potty. Not a lot of people know.
You dumb piece of shit.
I'm checking with the judges. Hold on.
Hey, can I do a Yahoo?
Yeah, I love that, girl.
So here's a Yahoo that was sent in by, as long as we're talking about jamming on music, here's one sent in by Adrian Cowles. Thank you, Adrian. It's an anonymous Yahoo Answers user who I'm going to call Megum, like Megan, but with an M at the end, asks, why do cello players shake their head when they play the cello?
Okay. No
everybody,
joke.
Everybody knows this. You look at the string quartet. The cello player's always like, always kind of grooving.
I was watching a Rachmaninoff concert last night.
Oh, fuck off!
Well, no,
fuck Maninoff.
Okay, that's two.
That's two in a row.
And it featured a young woman playing the piano. She was really getting into it.
Right.
And as much as I enjoyed her performance, all I kept thinking was like, how much more interesting it would be if she just looked really bored. If she was like yawning and like checking the time and stuff and playing almost like she was just like killing time.
Right.
So like these really difficult licks. And I think that maybe that's it, is at this point, all cello players are so good at it that they have to act like it's really hard so that it's like people are impressed. Because if they like showed how it was like, no, at this point, man, I'm not even thinking about it. I'm trying to remember that recipe from my grandmother's really good banana nut muffins. Like, this is easy.
It's possible. It could also be that Yo-Yo Ma started doing it, and everybody was like, well, if Ma's doing it, I need,
there have
looks
to be
like
trends
I need to
like
do
that,
this.
Right?
Absolutely, there's cellist trends. Absolutely, there is.
Oh, this guy started wearing real jangly bracelets, so now we're all wearing jangly bracelets so that you can hear us like dingle dingle as we go. Like,
do you know?
I would think bowstring composure is like a big
ooh.
Like, there's always like a new shit.
Oh, that's, yeah.
That's continually more sort of devious, like worse. Just worse.
Like, it's, you know, sour,
like,
tape.
For the environment, worse morally, like more bankrupt. Like, if it gets like cow, like baby cow innards, stuff like that, it just gets like worse and worse.
This
and
is
worse.
Hair
like,
from the Christ.
Yeah,
this is we Christ stole child. It. We stole it from the church. This is hair from the. We hired Nicolas Cage to steal the hair of Christ.
Steal a fistful of Christ hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you guys know the kind of head shake that I'm talking like? That kind of like.
Yeah, really, I'm into it. Look,
really going on it. Really hitting
well,
it. Oh, yeah, shredding these strings.
I'm ready to tell you, Griffin, the truth.
Yeah.
And I only know this because I'm an honorary cellist, because I saved a cellist's life. And so now their life is mine to do with
as
I please.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we know how it works.
What a lot of people don't know, if you don't play a cello, is actually the way a cello works is, as you're playing it, it is fighting back the whole time. And so it's kind of like it's like a wrestling match. So there's a lot of like kind of throwing it back and forth that has to happen. So that head shake is like the kind of counterbalance to keep the cello from getting away. Because if it were to ever get free, it has that big spike at the bottom.
A dangerous.
It would use that to kill everyone
to hurt,
in the room.
Yeah, at least. Yeah.
So,
and then there's also the danger that, you know, a lot of the times Yo-Yo Ma, before he was such an accomplished cellist, he would finish a performance and then people would be like, oh shit, where did Yo-Yo Ma just go? And then be like, ah, fuck, he got trapped inside his cello again. And you would look inside the little hole and he would be in there like, ah, fuck. It got me.
That's why the concerts go so long. They have to wear out their cellos so that they can be put away for another night.
So they can be put away, or else they will not get back in their boxes. They don't like it at all.
They will kill, and they will not stop killing. Once they taste human blood, the cello will never rest until we are all dead.
And that's why violinists are weak babies, because it's like, fight a real fucking instrument. A double bass is like, all right, fucking, wow, we get it. You're so strong. You can kick a double bass.
But even that's why, see, the violin is too weak to really hurt human beings all that much, but a double bass is so heavy that it's easy to catch. A cello is right there in the middle. It's easily God's most dangerous creature.
And then you see a swing band where they're like fucking spinning that double bass around. It's like, wow. Big dick energy, anybody?
Is that Bach?
I don't think so.
It kind of felt like it was peeking its head back in. Everyone said, that's not Bach.
It's like, hey guys, are we doing big dick? Are we doing big dick energy? Nope, not saying that. It is problematic. Okay, I'll see. I'll try again in another couple of years. Bye.
Here's another question. I just purchased a basketball for my father's birthday. Unfortunately, he decided he would go out and buy one for himself at the end of the week, 2 days before I was going to give it to him. The problem is simple. How do I keep him from buying his own basketball while not letting him know what I've done? Because of everything, the store is not accepting returns. I don't want him to buy another thing. What can I do?
You got
to
read the name.
Basketball Bungle in Connecticut. That's
really good. What kind of relationship? Oh, man, I have a lot of questions. What kind of relationship do you have with your father, and what kind of relationship does your father have with money and also the sporting goods store? Basketball for that matter, that he would say something like, at the end of this week...
God is my witness.
Everyone, listen.
Gather around.
Shut up and listen. This Friday afternoon, I will be going to Dick's Sporting Goods to purchase one American basketball.
55 birthdays have passed in which I did not have a basketball. Another one will not come and go until I have that rubber bastard under my thumb.
That is such a wild thing that I did not even process that's what they were saying. I thought they were talking in the past tense. But no, a declaration has been made about basketball purchasing plans in the near future.
Your dad is from a different generation. We're going to the store. It used to be an event. You know, people used to gather around and circle the basketballs they were going to buy or maybe just look at if they couldn't afford it. You know, that used to be a big day out during the Great Depression just to go to the Dick's and look at the basketballs. Maybe bounce them up and down the aisles, get a sense of their action, you know what I mean? And then dream about the day when you could afford a basketball.
Cut out clips of the old Sears Roebuck catalog of some beautiful new basketballs.
When he announced this, did he maybe look knowingly at everyone waiting, thinking someone might say no, please don't do that, hint.
I mean, again, a strange relationship with basketball, if that is the case. Like, I really want to make sure. I'm really going to put a gun to everyone's heads on this whole basketball thing.
Well, one of two things has happened. Either your father has never owned a basketball, at which point him deciding 2 days before his birthday to buy it is an interesting test. Why now, father? Or he has owned a basketball before, routinely used it, and now it is, I don't know, destroyed somehow and has like, why? He loves basketball enough that both you and him have thought about getting him a basketball, but not so much that he has a basketball at the ready.
Can I ask us just a stupid question?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is Dr. Anthony Fauci on Cameo?
What?
Because if he is, you could just pay him like $100 or something to lead to a cameo for your dad. That's like, basketball is, you know, dangerous or contaminated in some way.
Oh, so and not as a present?
No. I mean, it would be a present. You could have him be like, happy birthday, you old son of a gun. And also, don't touch any basketballs. They're so dangerous. And it's really
unless
bad.
Given to you by a loved one,
unless they have been, unless they're my own special brand of Fauci balls, my And then you are going to have to coordinate with Fauci to get him to like decorate the basketball, like put it, but maybe it's just a big cool sticker that he puts on it that lets people know this is a genuine, clean Fauci ball. I really hope I'm saying that name right.
Yeah, you're doing pretty good.
Okay. I don't think he's on Cameo, though.
When your dad says, I'm going to go buy a basketball, say, no, don't buy a basketball. And he's like, why not? You say, because basketballs are stupid. So make him feel really bad about it.
Or you could pay $100, beloved Dr. Anthony Fauci, to do that for you, Trav. Your idea was just a worse idea version of my idea.
Hey, let me throw this out. 10 minutes before he's about to leave to go to the store, hand him the basketball and say, happy early birthday.
Yep. That's the because that is the play.
You've gotten him two presents then. You've gotten him a basketball, and he doesn't have to go anywhere to get it. That would be, perhaps, if I were your father, which I'm not, then, unless this is BB, then I would be so jazzed to have just been miraculously saved any amount of effort whatsoever that, like, that would make my day.
What if your child just walked into the room right now, Travis, and just like launched a fucking bullet chest pass right at you? Like, let's go, Pops. Happy birthday.
Oh my God. I'd be so excited. I don't even like basketball. I'd be excited. Let's put it a different way. What if BB walked in and said, here on this memory drive is the rest of the episode already recorded. You can go fuck off. Well, I'd be so excited.
That would be so sick. Yeah, I would love that.
Right? If Henry and Charlie and BB had just gone ahead and recorded the rest of the episode for us, man, I'd be watching Avatar The Last Airbender right now.
Cool life that you're living. Can I do another Yahoo?
I love that, Griffin. I love how we're just churning through questions this time.
Yeah, we're really blasting off into some new levels.
Finally getting some work done.
Emma Kant sent this in. Thank you, Emma. It's Yahoo Answers user. They are anonymous also. I'm going to call them. Preston asks, do people travel to the USA for good American food, like hot dogs and burgers?
Oh, my God.
There's got to be some reason they're doing it, because it was Broadway, but now it's not that anymore.
And listen, just to be clear, there are good restaurants and good cooks in America. I'm just going to come right out and say it.
Wow. But, what a bold supposition, Travis.
But what I like about this question is there are good restaurants and good cooks like everywhere. What this question is asking is America a destination for food for specific American cuisine that you can only get in America? And that, I do not know that there's an answer to that.
If it does happen, I hope they're listening so I can give them this special public service announcement right now. Hello, my name is Justin McElroy. I host a podcast and several other podcasts.
We are proud Americans.
If you love American food so much, so you're thinking of coming here to eat our hot dogs and hamburgers, here would be my question to you. How much do you like hot dogs? I mean, do you really love hot dogs? Because this is a weird time for us right now. We're trying some different things out in terms of vis-a-vis managing some different situations that we have going on right now. And I mean, I hope you really like hot dogs. I mean, you have to really, really, really love hot dogs for this to make any kind of sense for you at all.
But the good news is, here's what you do. You fly here, you land in probably Atlanta, hit up that Nathan's Hot Dogs, get back on a plane,
get back on home. You gotta go.
Hey, bring a Justin's size suitcase with you and leave it unattended near my home. You never know.
That'd be cool. Pretty neat.
Smuggle your boy out.
Please don't do that.
It's not worth it.
Come on, let's go.
You'll get so sick.
Get on my back.
If you come here, you'll get so sick.
We're going. Let's go.
Hey, Gramps. Get stamps.com.
Grandpas love stamps. So what you just said, it's their favorite thing.
No, but that's what I'm saying. So they like they're gramps because they've always used they've used analog stamps. I'm talking about digital stamps.
Okay, cyber stamps.
Cyber stamps. That's stamps.com.
Well, you should have just said that.
Well, but now I'm worried that there are cyber grandpas out there. I am cyber grandpa.
I hope not. I
have my digital weathers. new like hit that. Character.
Yeah.
Okay. With stamps.com, you can print postage on demand and avoid going to the post office. Stamps.com offers UPS services with discounts up to 62% and no residual surcharges. Nope, residential surcharges. Hey, what about a character named Surcharges? Is that anything?
That sucks too.
Damn it. Okay. Simply use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send. Once your mail is ready, just leave it for your mail carrier, schedule a pickup, or drop it in a mailbox. It's that simple. And with stamps.com, you get great discounts too. 5 cents off every stamps and up to 62% off USPS and UPS shipping rates. Right now, our listeners get a special offer that involves a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale without any long-term commitment. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in my brother. That's stamps.com, enter my brother. Hi, I'm Sir Charge.
And I'm Cyber Grandpa.
It's funny, man.
And we're in love.
All right.
And there's nothing you can do to stop that.
Beep boop, eat my digital Werther's. That is good, Trav. It felt good. I took it on. Right? I took that boy on a walk. It felt good.
Feels good.
You know what else feels good? Entering in a promo code when checking out on an internet website and getting it right and getting money off your purchase for it. Because here's the thing, whenever you don't have that code and you see the field where it's like punch in a code to save money, you know, if you don't know the code, someone somewhere is saving money and you're not. And that's not fair. But Honey is the great equalizer because it's a free browser extension that just finds those freaking codes for you while you're just shopping like normal. There's a little button that says apply coupons. And if Honey can find a coupon, it just beep, boop, 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 and the prices go down.
They've been advertising with us for a while, and I have now, non-exaggeration, saved like over $100 using Honey every time I shop. It is a absolute grand slam, fantastic addition to your web browsing and web shopping experience.
You can get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/brother. That's joinhoney, H-O-N-E-Y, not the stupid way Pooh Bear spells it. .com.
Okay, the way we also spell it, it's the way we also spell it.
What do you mean?
20 Honey. 20 Honey. It's H-U-N-N-Y.
Oh, is it spelled like that?
It is for our thing?
I don't like that. Anyway, go to join joinhoney.com/brother.
It's money, honey.
Nope. Who guessed?
I want a munch.
Squad.
I want to munch.
Squad.
Welcome to Munch Squad. It's a podcast within the podcast detailing the latest and greatest in brand eating. Rather than go back into the time machine, I've got a trio of new small Munch Squad stories to share with you.
Oh, God.
The first is not thematically tied to the other two, but I did want to share it with you. This is about Bang Energy.
About what?
And what's that?
Bang Energy. It's an energy drink.
Okay.
They got a new flavor. It's a mouthwatering, ultra delicious. This is thanks to Katie, by the way, who sent this in. Mouthwatering and ultra delicious Radical Skedaddle.
Ooh.
By Bang Energy. The name Radical tells the story. This new flavor is extraordinary. While the Skedaddle will literally make your tongue rattle.
Huh.
After simply skipping Radical Skedaddle, you'll feel the vibes of beating drums, electric guitars, and rock music flowing through your brains and pulsating through your veins.
What?
With the new Rad Skad flavor launch, rock and roll was the goal and cutting edge nutrition was the vision. Whoa. It's easy as fishing when ambition drives the mission.
Holy shit!
That's Jack Owok, Bang Energy CEO, who seems to be, in my humble amateur opinion, I have no information about a bad person. Seems to be a bad person.
Hey, just real quick, I want to get a quick poll of the three people on this call. Do you think Bang Energy doesn't know what the word skedaddle means?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay, because they're trying to spin it like it's like rock and roll. That's not an owl. What do I get when I see like maybe a little scamp whose baby.
Just get out, it makes your tongue wriggle.
Okay.
Jack also said, we don't make people want our products. Bang Energy makes products people want.
Huh.
Bang. We don't make people.
It's interesting. Okay. Bang. Bang Energy. Anyway, that was wild.
Maybe that's why I've never heard of Bang Energy.
Okay. Meat of the future. KFC is 3D bioprinting nuggets in Russia.
Good.
Huh.
Just want to share everybody with that. It's a 3D meat of the future printing thing. Mm. The project aims to create the world's first laboratory-produced chicken nuggets. They'll be as close as possible in both taste and appearance to the original KFC product while being more environmentally friendly to produce than the ordinary meat.
Badass.
Receiving a final product for testing is already being planned for the fall of 2020 in Moscow. This uses chicken cells and plant matter to create lab-grown chicken nuggets.
Where do they get like the KFC. Chicken cells?
It doesn't harm chickens. Chickens, I think, give them freely. Maybe it's hair.
They have lots
maybe
of cells. Beard, they have so many cells.
Beard, maybe it's beard trimmings. Bio meat has the same micro elements as the original product, while excluding various additives that are used in traditional farming and animal husbandry, creating a cleaner final product. Cell-based meat products are also more ethical. The production process does not cause any harm to animals. KFC remains committed to continuous improvement in animal welfare from the farm through all aspects of our supply chain, including raising, handling, transportation, processing. Beheading is not listed there, but I'm assuming that's taken at face value.
Yeah.
At KFC, we're closely monitoring all the latest trends and innovations and are doing our best to keep up with the times by introducing advanced technologies to our restaurant networks. So this is a race by KFC to produce a more environmentally friendly chicken nugget so we can all, you know, thank you to Caroline and BioLife for sending that one in. So we can all enjoy, you know, a safer, more sustainable chicken nugget. We're working together. And then to do that, a lot of work and energy is going into it just to make it, you know, a little less of an impact on the planet.
I think that's cool. I do think they're missing an opportunity if they are 3D printing this stuff to make it in a way cooler shape. Like, for instance, just one very, very, very long rope. Like a chicken spindle.
I think it's great that they're putting all this effort into a more sustainable product, more humane products. We can all eat chicken and, you know, feel a little bit better about it. There's one more story here I want to share from John. Central Florida PDQ locations to offer milkshake on Monday with blended chicken tenders.
Whoa!
On Monday only, guests can order their chicken tender hand-spun shake, which contains vanilla ice cream and a whole chicken tender blended up inside of it. Fucking in Russia, people are racing against the clock to save our bedraggled planet by coming up with plant-based 3D printed chicken tenders. In Florida, they're fucking jamming them into blenders almost as fast as they can produce them. This is why we need sustainable chicken tenders, is because PDQ is fucking jamming them into blenders.
I consider myself a pretty with it dude.
Yeah.
Is this a thing people were asking for? I've never heard of this. Like, I've never heard of, like, oh man, you like that milkshake? Well, you haven't really enjoyed it till you've put a chicken tender in it.
Well, Trev, I'm glad you mentioned that. PDQ's chief marketing officer said in this article, our guests love our craveable fresh chicken tenders and our delicious hand-spun shakes. This shake combines the amazing flavors in both.
Oh, boy.
You motherfucker. This reporter who gets bonus points to Dave Plotkin for asking the hard questions is like, basically, is it fucking whack? Because it sounds whack. It sounds absolutely terrible. The quote that they got that Dave got back was, we have heard from our guests that they love our hand-breaded chicken tenders. And they also love our hand-spun milkshakes. So what better combination to celebrate National Chicken Tender Day? You mother... you can't... It's $3.99.
That's a good deal.
There's going to be chunks. And, like, what are you doing?
That's
straw?
The plan, bud.
Yeah, but is it a spoon thing?
Oh, there's another chicken tender on top.
fuck,
Travis? Who is this imaginary person that you have that you have breathed life into this, into the ether? Who says, yeah, let me get one of those. I guess it's gonna be either a hamburger or the chicken tender milkshake. You know what? I'll do the chicken tender milkshake, and then gets it back to their table and takes a big bite and is like, hey, there's a chunk in this. No, I'm not sending this chicken tender milkshake back.
No, I'm talking about just consumability, Griffin. What is the method? Because this would have to be spoon, right? Because a chunk of chicken ain't going up a straw. This is not a straw drink.
I assume it'll be placed at your tomb with you, like an Egyptian pharaoh's cats. Dave writes, the small size of this monstrosity is $3.99. And the regular size is $5.29.
Now, Justin, was there editorializing in there, Justin?
No, I'm reading from Dave's story. It's on OrlandoWeekly.com. Find it. The small size of this monstrosity is $3.99, and the regular size is $5.29, and there is no large because there is truly no justice in this world.
Have we heard from Dave before? I feel like we've heard from Dave before.
It's possible we've heard from Dave before. I wish there was a large, because I like the person's like, I'm going to order this and I'm going to commit.
Why don't you go ahead and put a biscuit and maybe some like salt and sugar packets or whatever in there too. Just swirl it all up.
Swirl it all up. Anyway, that's the Munch Squad. Sorry to take up so much of your time with it this week, but I just thought that those stories were really a really nice pairing. Almost as nice a pairing as hand-spun milkshakes and chicken tender.
Hey, real quick, can I tell folks at home about the Max Fun Drive?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay, I'm going to speed through this because I don't want to waste too much of your time, folks. Right? Foot in the door. This is the straight shit. Here's how it works. You go to MaximumFun.org/join. You pick a membership level that you're comfortable with. At $5 a month, you get access to over 200 hours of bonus content from every Max Fun show, and it stretches across all Max Fun Drive. There's tons of stuff on there. There's video stuff. There's audio stuff. There's stuff you're not going to hear anywhere else. You get that for just $5 a month. $10 a month, you get the bonus content. You get an enamel pen designed by Megan Lynn Cott. You get to pick it. There's one for every Max Fun show. You pick your favorite. You're going to get that pen and a membership card that shows you are a member of the Max Fun family. For $20 a month, you get the bonus content, you get the membership card, you get your pick of the enamel pin, and you get a Max Fun themed game night pack with like Max Fun themed cards, a Max Fun themed dice bag, and Max Fun themed dice. There's other levels to pick from as well. You get to pick yours. You decide which level you're comfortable with. Maybe you're already a member and you have come to depend more and more on Max Fun shows for entertainment, education, or information, or whatever, right? And you're ready to move up to the next level. You can do that at MaximumFun.org/manage. Maybe you are a big fan of Max Fun. You're already a Max Fun member. You want to be able to give more to the shows you love, but you aren't able to move up to the next level. This year, we're offering a new thing called boosting, where you can go to MaximumFun.org/manage, and you're able to give a little bit more without having to move up to the next level, right? So you're able to support the art and artists you love without having to commit to a higher membership level. Now, this won't qualify you for the rewards, but you'll have the reward of knowing that you gave more to the art and artists you love. If you're not able to give it all, we totally understand. Things are really, really uncertain out there. And, you know, these are scary times. And if you aren't able to commit yourself to a monthly payment, we totally get it. You can still support the shows by sharing the link, MaximumFun.org/join, telling people why you love Max Fun shows, using the hashtag MaxFunDrive, sharing links to episodes, anything like that. And really, just listening to our shows is a lot of support. So thank you so much for that. When you become a member or increase your membership, 30% of what you are able to give goes to Max Fun to pay their staff, to keep the lights on, and to fund next year's Max Fun Drive. The rest goes to the shows you listen to. When you become a member or upgrade your membership, they will ask you what shows you listen to, and that's where your money goes. So you are directly supporting the art and artists you love. So one more time, those URLs are MaximumFun.org/join and MaximumFun.org/manage. And if you're thinking about doing either one of those, we would ask that you go ahead and do it now before you forget. And if you're not able to, totally cool.
That was so easy for me. I didn't have to say or do like anything. And that's
just a service I offer.
It was pretty rad, pretty righteous, and I do like it. I do appreciate it. Please go to MaximumFun.org/join. It would be really cool of you. Can I do a Yahoo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one's sent in by Adrian Cowles. Thank you, Adrian. It's from Yahoo Answers user Brit, who asks, what is some advice you wish someone would have given you before starting your own clothing business?
Oh, don't open that chest. It's cursed.
I don't know how common.
Well, I went into Great Grandmama's attic to look for
your
clothes
business.
For clothes that I could sell as a consignment business. And
so
I
you
found
were robbing your grant just to start from the beginning.
Oh no, she's super dead. Okay. She's real dead. Just knowing I've been in the house for a while. And I was like, I know Great Grandmama has some old clothes up there that I could sell for consignment.
Yeah.
And so I went up there looking for clothes and I found that old sailor's trunk. And I said, there's probably some cool old sailor clothes in there. And I opened it up. And first, let me say, there were some cool old sailor clothes in there, but also a scary sailor ghost. And so I had to contend with that for a while. And eventually, the only way I could get him to leave me alone is I had to make him a silent partner in the business. And now he gets 50% of every T-shirt I sell.
50%.
And it's really draining my profits, frankly. And my overhead is over my head, if you know what I mean.
Did you think about putting him back in the trunk? And dropping the trunk into the deepest
waters
of the ocean. No?
I tried, but it showed right back up in my living room. And then I burned it, and it was right back there. And I gave it to a friend, and it was right back there. And the only way I could get him to go away is the 50-50 partnership.
Right.
And the worst part is sometimes he does show up at the shop and he tries to make like interior decorating decisions. And he's like, I think that the pants rack would do better over there. And I'm like, fuck, Stuart.
But he's
get out of here.
He does have a good point.
Listen, I know, but at that point, it's like a thing, you know? Like, I don't want to give in to him because then it's just going to make him feel entitled to come back. And he kind of bosses my employees around, and I don't care for it.
I think that I wish somebody would have stopped me before I cut holes in the back of all the pants to make little holes that people could poop through so they don't have to pull their pants down on the toilet.
But those were a hit for a while.
For a while, but then I was psyched, Travis, the week that like people started to post about that on TikTok. And they're like, you got to get these butthole pants. And I was like, yes, I've made it. But then the following week, nobody came in. And I realized I was just sort of like a novelty to them. Like, well, the
what
pants
do you think
I had
changed?
Made, the pants. Well, it was I guess they thought it was a joke. And like but jokes don't stay funny for very long. And then it was like not even like a practical thing that people wanted. So then I put patches on them, but the patches
just regular bad pants.
Now there's just bad pants with a patch on the back. And
I wish jokes stayed funny for longer.
Yeah, yeah.
So we didn't have to do this every week. Can you imagine how nice it would be if we could just say like, no, those other jokes are still funny.
Yeah, those are the jokes.
Go back and listen to them. They're still actually pretty funny. They're just a week old jokes. It's still pretty funny. Go back and listen to those again.
I bet there are people on Earth who still haven't even heard them.
That's possible. They're funny to them. Sharing their laughter. You know what I mean?
What about you, Justin? What's something you wish that someone had told you before you opened your clothing business?
Hold on.
Uh-huh. We've already done cursed pirate chest, and we did butthole cutouts. You can do this.
I tried to get the multi-scarf thing going. It was one scarf. But I pre-knitted them together to get that Johnny Depp, Steven Tyler look. I did not appreciate three things.
Okay.
One, that look would become unfavorable much quicker than anyone could have possibly imagined. Mm-hmm. Two, people like to mix and match their various scarves to create a new multi-scarf look every day. It's an expression of their own personality. I should have appreciated that, and I didn't.
Now,
the third thing is crumbs. You know, you have separate scarves. You enjoy a Long John Silver's chicken tender meal, three pieces, two pieces. It doesn't matter. You start getting crumbs in there. Mm-hmm. If the scarf is all stitched together, if it's several scarves that have been merged, that's the ball.
Now you got birds.
Now you have a bird problem. Yeah. That's what happened to Brenda Fricker. Everybody knows she had one of my multi scarves.
She ate the chicken.
The pigeons won't leave her alone.
You get the fries in there. You get some of those crumblies, you know, where they've just fried the fat, like just put some batter in there. Mm-hmm. You know, and the birds love the batter. They batter up, and then they will they pick you up that. And fly you away.
I wish somebody also had told me that there already was a store called Lids.
Yeah.
Because I'm open. Yeah. I paid all that money for a store at the mall called Lids. And then I made all my shirts that says, like, I'm a happy Lids employee that I made all the employees wear.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, I got a very terse email from the Lids owners of the real Lids. And they said, hey, you can't do that. And so I said, what else am I supposed to call it? What else am I supposed to call my shoe store? And they're like, you're what? And I was like, yeah, dummy. They're Lids for your feet.
And then Griffin took the war to them.
Yeah.
He, you'll probably read about it in the paper, but Griffin went to the Lids when the store was empty, and he threw a Molotov cocktail in there.
Yep.
Except he messed it up, and he didn't do it right, and there was somebody in there, but he didn't do the fire part right either. Yeah. So it was just a broken bottle on the floor.
And it was just soda. It was just a bunch of cola.
They made him come back and clean it all.
And then they said, "You did such a good job cleaning. Do you want a job here?" And now Griffin works at Lids.
Yeah. Well, no,
he works at Lids in the mornings and then Lids in the evenings.
Oh, well, I did have to change the name of my store, and I did change it to Feet Lockers because it's like little prisons for your feet. I also decided, like, you're locking them up, you know?
You know what I wish I'd known before I started my clothing business? Uh-huh. I wish I'd known that people liked airbrush shirts made to order, because I just made a whole bunch of them ahead of time that said, like, Deborah and Tommy together forever. And it just said that one thing. Mm-hmm. Like a lot. I made like 600 shirts that just said Deborah and Tommy together forever. And it was T. The letter T and then the letter 2 and then gather. And then it said F and then the number 4 and then ever. And people pointed out that looked like together and forever. I didn't even think about that.
Well,
and also, I don't know anyone named Debbie or Tommy. And I don't even know if they're together.
Yeah. You were able to salvage a little bit of that, though, when you scratched out everything except Deborah, and you did put in a sort of crude caricature of Ray Romano, and you did add like 8 more A's on the end of Deborah.
And that's how I made my first million.
Hey, gang. Hey, fam. I would wear the fuck out of that shirt. Picture of a caricature, fucking Ray Romano, and it just says Deborah on top of it. Yes, 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 yes. Lock that up. Yeah, man, but here I go again. Fucking Lids, too. You can't just do that.
Isn't it weird? How the Calvin peeing on stuff took off, but Ray Romano screaming Deborah never became like a thing you saw in the back of trucks and like ski news and stuff.
Yeah.
Or the ones of Ray Romano very realistically, like photorealistic peeing from the, and you see it from the front. So it's like coming at you.
Yeah. Or Ray Romano kneeling down before the cross.
Ray Romano peeing on Peter Boyle. I wish that I had
Ray Romano kneeling at his wife's grave just saying Deborah, but in a sad way.
Yeah.
Deborah, period.
Lower case.
Deborah.
I wish
Or once, what about the ones where there's like a bunch of E's instead of a bunch of A's? So he's just saying Deborah.
Deeb. I wish before I made my unlicensed Pickle Rick hot pants that I had Googled what that character looked like. Yeah. It has a face. That's number one that I should have accounted for. Because right now I have a lot of shorts with pickles with hands and feet and no face.
Yeah.
And I can't convince people that they're this Pickle Rick they're
wild
about.
And also, Justin, you did kind of lay the letters out in the back so that a lot of them went into the butt crack. So when people wear it, it just looks like it says Pickick.
Yeah, it's not
good. That's not great.
I really wish somebody would have told me to check the kerning when I did establish Griffin's tank tops so that it didn't look like I was trying to sell Griffin stank tops, because those went over like a real lead balloon.
I just wish people had told me how litigious Ray Romano was before I did all this branded content.
Yeah. It's really important to him that people think his penis and wiener looks a certain way, and they don't like it when you make a sticker of him.
He also said he wanted to decide when Deborah died and how.
Yeah.
That was really important to him for the character. It's like he had a whole, if they ever get to make another season of Everybody Loves Raymond, most of it is going to be about how Deborah dies and how the character of Ray reacts to it.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, he let me in on it. It's gruesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of Damocles has been swinging over Patricia Heaton's head for some time now. And it's probably why she turned out the way she did.
Well, Ray told me that he was kind of envisioning a spinoff series in which Ray became a mentalist like crime solver, and there needed to be something that fueled him into that. And it did involve Deborah's gruesome.
What if instead the series, he had been the lead suspect and he had to find the person that did it, and it was called Everybody Hunts Raymond? it's just all the different government agencies working together to bring down Raymond.
Or your police officer, tell us where your brother is.
It's led by his brother for reasons that are clear, and by his stepfather for reasons that are not.
Mm-hmm. Everybody loves Raymond's blood because within it lies the pathogen that will cure the world's ills.
Yes.
Yeah. Bearded outdoorsman Joel has to lead his charge, Ray Romano, through a zombie-infested wasteland because Ray Romano's blood may be the only hope humanity has for creating a vaccine to the zombie plague.
And then I heard that in the fourth season of Everybody Loves Raymond, it was basically going to be like no one had been pregnant for a long time, but now Ray Romano was pregnant, and they were going to call it Children of Ray. And it's like, then it just seemed like he was just kind of doing what different like post-apocalyptic things. There was one where it was called Ray Box, where it's like Ray's in that box. Don't look in that box.
Did you see? Did you see 28 Rays Later? Thank you so much for listening.
The Walking Deb. Wait, The Walking Deb.
Wait, the white. Travis burst into the door. Wait, you can't
wait, The Walking Deb.
The Walking Deb reopened.
What about The Day After Romano?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We very much appreciate it. One more quick pitch. The Max Fun Drive is
for another Ray Romano show.
For another Ray Romano show that I just came up with. That is gonna do it for us. But the Max Fun Drive will keep on going for a little bit longer. You're running out of time though to support the shows that you love. MaximumFun.org/join. Is the address to do that. Remember, a $5 pledge gets you all the bonus content, which is great. $10 pledge, you get the enamel pin from whatever show that you choose. At $20 a month, if you can pledge that, gosh, we appreciate that. And we're going to send you a Max Fun game pack with like dice and cards and stuff like that, plus the pin and the bonus content. There's a beautiful camp mug at $35 a month. There's just a lot of great stuff, but the real thing is supporting the shows that you love. And, if you can do it, we know it's a weird time, but if you can do that, it really would mean the world to us. We just really appreciate anything you can give. So MaximumFun.org/join. We appreciate those of you who are already donating so much. Thank you. We know it's not easy, and it really does, make our lives possible. Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you to John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use for a theme song. It's a departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed, an album that makes my life possible because I need that rock and roll in my veins.
And Griffin, do you have a final Yahoo?
I do have a final Yahoo. This one was sent in by Emma Kant. Thank you, Emma. It's Yahoo Answers, another anonymous Yahoo Answers user. This one was sent in by a bear who asks, how was The Golden Girls filmed in front of a live studio audience if it was filmed in a house?
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.